welcome to Prepared, the German gear podcast. And today, I'm Eric. I'm very, very happy to have a guest on the show. And this is the Grunt Perspective guy you know and love from Instagram and YouTube. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yes. I'm fine. We just talked a little bit in beforehand. So, you know, we got to know each other. And I'm so happy that you found the time. And to be honest, I already bragged with some comrades right here. And I just like, do you know who I'm talking right now? And they said, like, who? I like the Grunt Perspective. Wow, I love this guy. And I got so much information from him. And so it's really, really cool. So, yeah.
Well, appreciate you wanting to bring me on, man. It's actually crazy to hear that, like, what I'm doing is reaching people in Germany, all around the world. So I really appreciate you wanting to have me on, man.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, thank you for your content. So we just talked a little bit and, you know, I already said that, like, I'm a retired infantry officer and still now in the reserve. And the way things are done today, they've changed. And especially small things, like this is information. Normally, you inherit it kind of from the older NCOs or from older guys. Sometimes you don't get this information. And this is something what you are doing, the basic stuff like how to pack your rucksack, how to prepare your belt kit, how to do the things, how to take care of your feet, so how to wear boots. So things for the infantryman, for the grunt, that are important, but most of the time are not in the manuals. Yeah. And so I'm very, very thankful that you're doing what you are doing in the way you're doing it. So, and yeah, let's start with it. But before we come to the YouTube channel, and we already talked before. So whenever I ask something which is classified, now you would just say, yeah, we don't talk about this, but I can say that's what you also say in the videos is you're working in the world's finest armed forces in the United States Marine Corps.
And you know, they always say, like, how do you know that a guy is a Marine? You go, yeah, you don't have to ask him, he'll tell you, right? But that's
okay. Yeah, it's like CrossFitters and Navy SEALs. Yeah, they're like,
yeah,
even especially if you meet women. So like, hi, I'm Eric. I'm in the Marine Corps, by the way. Look at my Semper Fi tattoo. Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, but and you know, I'm hot. You know, if I'm in my first class uniform, then you know I'll have you slip right now. Yeah, perfect. So you're laughing. Okay, so by the way, you're feeling better now. I just watched your recent video, so you've been ill, kind of. So you're good now at the moment.
Yeah. So I got what we call the stud crud.
Stud crud.
So the students, we call them studs for and probably three or four times a cycle I get sick with some crazy illness, and then my poor wife, they come home and I give it to her, so she has it now, but I am in
there. Okay.
But yeah, I feel better now.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. That is good to know. So talking about it, of course, in Germany, and I think it's in the United States, it's not different. But in Germany, most of the people don't know Marines in real life, but mostly from movies and stuff like that. So it's always interesting to know how a real way or a real career of a guy into the Marine Corps is. So would you tell me about it? So what was it with you? Was it immediately after high school that you said, like, or you've always wanted to be a Marine, or what was it in your case?
Yeah. So I, from a pretty young age, I knew that I wanted to be a Marine from a family friend of ours who just retired after 30 years of service in the Marine Corps. He kind of introduced me to it. He gave me his, like, boonie cover, the old, like, tricolor one. And from then, I don't know, every Halloween I went as an army guy, all throughout school, I always wanted to be a Marine. And yeah, after high school, I joined the Marine Corps at 18, and I've been in ever since. So.
So there was never a way that you went would either go to the army or, okay, for God's sake, to the Air Force, but but army was never a thing you thought about.
I mean, to be honest, I've thought about it, but it never got off the ground. The only recruiting office that I went to was the Marine Corps. I went there first and I was like, yeah, this is it. But I was pretty lucky. I was able to get exactly what I wanted, so I never had a reason to go anywhere else, I guess.
Yeah, perfect. This is something I also just, by, watching TikTok on some YouTube movies that a lot of guys say, like the recruiters often try to kind of lure you into an MOS you not really want to, or in a military job you don't want to, but you've always wanted to be an infantryman, a rifleman in the Marine Corps. Is that right?
Yeah,
Okay, and they didn't try to,
it's actually funny that you say that because I scored really well on the test that Americans use to screen you for military service, the ASVAB. I scored well on it, and my recruiter for the longest time was trying to convince me to not be an infantryman because I was like, I was qualified for everything that I could have wanted to do in the Marine Corps. And it kind of came down to the point where I was like, it's either you're going to let me be a grunt or I'm going to go to the army. And they're like, okay, fine. But yeah, sometimes that does happen. Guys kind of get duped, but usually it's just because they didn't either read or ask the questions. And then, they end up with a job that they didn't know that they signed up for. But yeah.
The thing I think nowadays it's easier to get the information. So what you are confronted with in basic training and how to prepare, kind of, was there a way you prepared for the basic training, or was your whole high school kind of a preparation for the Marine Corps?
Yeah, so my junior year of high school, I was really fat. I had to lose like 60 pounds to be able to join the Marine Corps. So throughout my whole senior year, I lost 60 pounds, and then I was in the what's called the delayed entry program. It's basically kids that have already signed contracts, but they're not ready to go to boot camp yet, for either they're not old enough yet or they're not done with high school yet. So I did that, and we like did PTs a couple times a week. But to be honest, like I was like overtraining myself. Everyone says that boot camp is like, or like Marine Corps boot camp is the most like physically challenging. I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was. So I was like really like messing myself up. And when I got to boot camp, it was nothing special as far as like the PTs and stuff. Like they were difficult, sure, but I was ready for them. So.
Very cool. So, but talking about basic training, this is something, of course, with movies like Full Metal Jacket or some, some other movies or whatever. How was boot camp for you? It is like the yelling, it is the intimidation, but it is always like the way when I see it most of the time, well, not Full Metal Jacket, but that they are yelling at you, but you have a high respect level on the drill instructor, so that you respect the drill instructors and they kind of respect you as a trainee. So what was it for you? Or have they been like also like assholes? You know what I mean? Or was it like professional, being a professional asshole, kind of, you know what I mean?
I think that's probably a good way to put it. It is very similar to movies like Full Metal Jacket, other than like the drill instructors like touching you. They're not technically allowed to do that. Not to say that it doesn't happen from time to time, but yeah, it's yelling, screaming, extreme attention to detail. They like what their goal is to take you from a civilian and then turn you down to nothing, and then you leave there as like a robot. And then from there,
All
your
right.
brain kind of recovers a little bit as you go through your next training. But all of the stuff that you learned is still instilled in you, or at least that's the goal. But yeah, that's they are very professional assholes, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah, okay.
Extremely
Okay, very
professional.
good.
They are the epitome of what a Marine is supposed to look like. You know, they're physically fit, their
Okay.
uniforms look great all the time. They have eight sets of uniforms inside their locker that they'll sweat one out and they'll come out 5 minutes later in a fresh uniform. Yeah, they're good. They do their job well.
Okay. So when you finally received your Eagle Globe and Anchor, how did you feel?
It was actually strange. Like I don't know if you've seen like YouTube videos of like kids receiving it and they're like crying and stuff. Like I felt the
Yeah.
overwhelming lack of emotion. I was just like,
I see.
all right, cool.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What
Okay.
next?
Okay. Okay. So it was like, okay, that's it. So kind of, and okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I assume you're still in the core.
Yeah.
So you enjoy the life in the army. You enjoy, or not in the army, I'm sorry, but you know, army is in Germany, even if you say army, it's like being in the military service. So, but you
Yeah.
know what I mean. So you still enjoy being in the corps
I
until
do,
now.
yeah. As with any like military, there's always going to be things about it that people don't care for, like rules and regulations and things like that. And but
Yeah.
what keeps me in is my love for the infantry. I love
Okay.
doing it. I
Cool.
love teaching it. I love just getting to do this stuff and get paid for it.
Yeah.
So that's what like that's why I'm still in. Just it's literally just because I love my job, and I'm willing to deal with all the stuff that comes with it because it means I get to do my job.
Very cool. And honestly, that's what I think when I watch your videos. Because for anyone out there, but our listeners, of course, they know you, but if you watch your videos, it's not fancy. There's no intro. It's not a fancy that you're in the middle of and doing hoo-ha stuff, and it's just you, a table, a wide foreground, and then you're just telling the things you are telling. But you do it in a very well-spoken manner in just one take most of the time, and it's just like yeah, because I immediately see that you know what you're talking about. So, and that's why, so it's just great watching you and feeling this fire for being an infantry guy. So this is that. So, but coming back to, so that's why I just said it, because what you just said now.
Well, thank you.
After graduating, or after graduating boot camp, you went through different schools yourself. Did you always felt well trained? You know, was it always like, or was there a time when you've been like disappointed in some kind of training where I thought it must be on a different level, or that's more old school, or how did you felt about your training after basic training?
So I'll talk about my initial training as an infantryman. And I will say that when I went to initial infantry training, ITB, it was different. The course was about half as long as it is now. And a lot of the stuff that we covered there was very heavy in the Iraq, Afghanistan. Like, we learned a lot about IEDs and things like that. But the training that I received, the way that it was previously ran was, it was an 8-week course. The first 4 weeks would be like rifleman stuff, and everyone would do the rifleman stuff. That'd be the firing movement, the rifle, the grenade launchers, hand grenades, things like that. And then there would be what's called a split, where about a third of the company would get selected to be weapons MOSs, either a machine gunner, a mortarman, an anti-tank missile gunner, or an assaultman. And I was selected to be a machine gunner. And after that, the next 4 weeks of the course was learning all of the machine guns, doing like immediate and remedial actions, doing like the disassembly and assembly until like my fingers were bleeding, basically. We did hikes and stuff like that, but I will say that I left ITB to the fleet still very much a robot from boot camp. That
okay, I see.
The ability to critical think was not instilled in me,
okay,
because it wasn't the goal back then. The goal was to send a dude to the fleet who knows how to do this stuff and nothing else. I knew how to use the weapons. I knew how to do some stuff, but I was still very much a private, and I didn't do anything without being told to do it exactly when I did it. Okay. And I did nothing else. Right. And that's different than what we're trying to do now.
Okay, I understand, because this is something that surprises me, because I think, I don't know the English term for it, but in Germany, we had like, or in the German armed forces, it was way, like it started in the Wehrmacht, like in World War II, was like, I think, is it called mission command, that you don't order someone, you, of course you give orders, but more like mission orders. So not like, let's stay here, cover from there to there, but more like, okay, your mission is to secure this area, and the way how you do it is your decision based on your good training. I think mission command is might be the term, and this is something I thought the Marine Corps implements.
Decentralized command is what we call it.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, this was my question. So, because you still said that, like, as a private, that you're more like a robot and you're just following orders. So, but this was back then, and now it's different, or?
Yes, it is. So now, I'm a combat instructor now. I teach at infantry training battalion. And now we've greatly lengthened the course to 13 weeks, 14 weeks, and the instructor to student ratio has gone up. When I was a private, the instructor to student ratio was like 1-45. Now the instructor to student ratio is 1-15. Every combat instructor has their own like rifle squad that allows them to teach. And allows the opportunity for the privates to ask questions more. On top of that, we are less focused with, you know, like the split type thing. We don't do that anymore. Every single Marine that graduates from IMC will learn how to use every weapon system other than heavy machine guns, heavy anti-armor weapons, and the 82 millimeter mortar. And then after that, if they are selected to do a weapons MOS, they will then go to a follow-on 4-week weapons course. And then after that, they go to the fleet. So you're looking at a 3 month course now, which could possibly turn into 4 months before you go to the fleet. But part of the reason why we're doing that now is because the Marine Corps as a whole wants a more capable individual like rifleman that knows how
Very
to
good.
do lots of things at the base level, vice one dude for like me, example, I was a machine gunner. I knew how to do machine guns at a surgical like a level with it. Like I knew everything about it, but other than that, I was kind of behind the curve on some of the other stuff. So
I
we
understand.
opted for the ideology now that it's better to have dudes who can do almost everything pretty well than specific dudes who can do one thing expertly but can't do any other things.
And interestingly, so this is the basic training or the philosophy in the German armies was ever that everyone needs to know at least how to work with a weapon system. So even though if you're not a machine gunner, you need to know how to shoot, how to maintain, you need to know this. Also like being a rifleman, a grenadier, whatever. So very good. And I think that's a very good way, but it's the more complicated way, of course. Yeah, because you need to put more instructors to fewer people, and you cannot produce, you know what I mean, that much soldiers for the fleet or Marines for the fleet. Okay. Yeah, but very good that you're doing it. So you also do in this course like patrolling techniques and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, we do patrolling, offense, we do defense, we do urban environments, we do demolitions, we
Nice.
do almost everything that's in the TNR manual we do, which is like
Very cool.
the skills that an infantryman should be able to do. We put them all into manuals and call them a TNR manuals. But yeah, so
Perfect.
they will at least have done everything that's in the TNR manual at the basic level a couple times throughout the course.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, that sounds very interesting and very well rounded, and I think it's a good way to do this. Since you talked about amphibious operations in one of your last videos, you showed like how to prepare your backpack and stuff. Is it part of the course too? Yeah.
Yes, it is. So, throughout the course, they have multiple swimming evaluations. Most of them take place at the pool, but in our like final event of the course, we do a kind of mock amphibious insert. They get in the water, but obviously we don't have like the resources and supplies to get like amphibious vehicles. So
Of
we
course,
just
yeah, I understand.
we do a swim from we do a swim up to the beach, and then from then we start the rest of that week-long mission.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, but pretty cool. This is something, of course, I'm just an army guy. We're not kind of doing this very often, but I'm very interested in like amphibious operation, even though if it's just over a river or stuff like that, because obviously that's something you will need, even though if you're not a force coming from sea. Yeah, very cool. So far about your training and about your career in the Marine Corps. And I want to talk about you about gear, of course, but I also would like to know, are there any schools or any courses you would be interested to visit, perhaps in the Marine Corps, but even if you would have the free choice to choose a school, what would it be?
Oh
Or
man.
not?
So I've already been to quite a
So if you had a
few.
wish list, kind of,
One of the ones that I would really like to go to one day would be airborne school in the army, just for fun. We don't
I see.
jump as Marines, but I think that that'd be fun to learn and get how to learn how to do that.
Yeah, that's why I just show you.
Hell
those
yeah.
Are my wings, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just yeah, I exactly that was the question I was talking about. Like, if you could do this, is there? Would you be interested in kind of Rangers school? Would that be something if you could? Yeah.
So I would like to do Ranger school. Every once in a while they send Marines to Ranger school. But it's, you know, obviously we're not in the Army, so we get like the minimum allotment of seats for it. I've seen a couple guys go to Ranger school. But I think, to be honest, that ship has sailed for me, because I'm kind of like past the rank where like we send dudes to go to that.
Okay.
But that would have been cool to get to go to Ranger school and airborne school. Yeah. That would have been fun. And then like maybe SEER school as well.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Lots of fun. But
But defining fun as an infantry guy. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah.
I understand. Are there any similar courses or schools in the Marine Corps? This is something, you know, of course, Ranger school is popular. Most of people know it. Airborne school or air assault school is something most of the people like know about. Is it in the Marine Corps the same, that you have different schools you can visit, which are interesting? Do you have a jungle course or something like this? Or what chances do you have to go to schools or to a school?
So
to a course.
The on the enlisted side of the Marine Corps in infantry, we have a whole pipeline of schools that are that are tailored to your MOS, and then they all converge to one school, which is going to make you qualified to be a platoon sergeant. When I was a junior Marine, I was E3. I went to advanced machine gun school. And then when I was a corporal, I went to enhanced squad leaders course, which was a 4-month long course where I got a cert for advanced infantry Marine course, which is not normally a school that I would have got to go to, because that school is for 0311s and I'm a 0331. And then I got a cert for infantry small unit leaders course, which is normally a school for senior corporals to sergeants. And then you pick up staff sergeant, then you go to infantry, the unit leaders course, which qualifies you to be a platoon sergeant. After that, there's a few more, like infantry operations chief school. But all of them, from like, there is a school that you can go to at every rank in the infantry, basically. Like lance corporal to corporal, you're going to your first advanced school. It'll be AIMC, AMGC, advanced mortars, advanced anti-tank, or advanced assault. After that, your next one, you're a senior corporal to a sergeant. At this point, you're going to infantry small unit leaders course, which kind of pulls away the MOS specific stuff, and it just tries to teach everyone more or less how to use all of these weapon systems, not necessarily how to use them, but how to employ them. And then from there, then you go to unit leaders. You're a staff sergeant or a gunnery sergeant at this point. And once you graduate from that course, then, you know, you're qualified. But yeah, they're all a sleigh. Like you go in the field, lots of PT, lots of knowledge, lots of tests and things like that. And the attrition rate on them can sometimes be pretty high. It's not unusual for guys to go once or twice or three times, but
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, sounds pretty good. Okay. So thank you for this short, you know, like being what it's like being in the Corps and how the schools work. This is, you know, for me, it's very, really interesting, like how it really works, besides from what I see in the movies. All right, let's talk a little bit about, I think you're still or you are a little gear nerd, or depends. Okay, I understand. So this, okay, I see this, but sometimes, especially if you're still in the forces, at least here in Germany, it's sometimes pretty hard being a gear nerd because there is always a chain of command. Well, of course, I'm a captain, so that's why it's always like, yeah, but there's a chain of command, and even then you cannot wear everything you really want to have and what all the cool guys on TV have, you know. And sometimes, and that's why I'm so thankful for your videos that okay, I see your microwave now.
Oh, sorry, I had to put the phone down.
Yeah, not at all. But you still hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. That you show them that you don't need the fancy cryopants to perform. What you need is your brain and your arms and legs. But on the other hand, guys, of course, we all like kind of equipment and gear. So, but that being said, what is it like? Are you happy with the issued gear in the Marine Corps? he's smiling.
Yeah, I mean, okay. To be honest, you know, I've said it lots of times in my videos. A lot of it is hit and miss. The issued gear, it can work for you. You're just going to have to do a little bit of tinkering with it. You're going to have to mess with it. It's in my view, it's not like ready to go out of the box.
I see.
The plate carriers and helmets and stuff that we're getting now, they're all very good quality. But they're just, you know, the plate carrier, I'm looking at my plate carrier on the table right now. It's a little bulky, and you know, you're gonna have to get something to kind of tighten up the shoulders a little bit. You know, usually the Marine Corps, most places is pretty lenient on what like pouches and stuff you use, as long as you're using issued like protective equipment, the plate carrier, the helmet, and the armor.
Yeah.
Some places they'll let you wear your own plate carriers and helmets and stuff, but usually that's not anyone in like the straight leg infantry. I think a lot of the gear that we're getting now is it's definitely getting better compared to when I first was in the Marine Corps. You know, still there's room for improvement on almost everything, especially our rucksack. The issued rucksack that we get is just garbage. It's it's got a plastic frame.
Yeah, this is something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is something I wanted to ask. Is it the Philby system?
The Philby rucksack with the plastic frame is the main problem with it. They just don't carry weight well.
Okay, yeah, I understand. And that's most of the time the issue that I think that external frame are pretty good in like carrying a heavy load, but more like the old Ellis frames were pretty stable, pretty good, although they were heavy, but they got the job done. So that's why I'm actually pretty surprised, because the sometimes if you see like the huge FILB or Philby rucksacks, they seem to be like just enormous. And I thought that is pretty good system all in all. But as you can see, I use the old assault pack, you know? But that's the old one. You have now the MARPAT one, is that right?
No, the MARPAT one is actually the older variant. The one that you have is the one that we're using currently.
Okay. So, yeah, I understand. Are you allowed to carry your own rucksack if you want? So you have your malice pack, right?
Yes, I do. So I have a malice pack. I have an Alice pack. I've had a couple different packs. Again, it's one of those things that depends on who's in charge of you. But I've never had someone who didn't want who wasn't okay with guys using their own packs, so long as they were of good quality. They were in, you know, coyote tan, the proper colors for the Marine Corps. But there are some places, some units in the Marine Corps that want you to have like full issued rucksack and things like that. I've even done before where I've been using my malice pack, like say we go to a different base to do some training. I've even been told before that you can use that pack, but we need you to bring your issued rucksack in case yours breaks. And you know, me in my head, I'm like, the issued rucksack is going to break before this thing does. But sure, you know, I'll appease them and I'll take it with me. But usually packing are fine, most places, but there are some units where it's not.
How happy are you with the uniform? I think it looks pretty cool and looks pretty good, but how does it perform? But I already know from your videos that there's a difference between the frog and the normal ones, right? So which one do you prefer?
The standard utility uniform, like the Nyko cotton and a nylon, is what most Marines are using for 99% of things. There's nothing wrong with it. You just have to make sure you get one that fits you correctly so you don't chafe like a crazy man. The one thing that does need significant improvement is the combat uniform, the frog uniform. Comfortable. Very comfortable. I'm sorry. Can you still?
Yeah, not at all. It's okay.
Me?
No, I can't. No, I can see you, but we'll keep talking. So.
Yeah, it does need significant improvement. It's very comfortable, but it's just not durable at all. And it falls apart pretty quickly, which is the big problem with it.
I see. How does it work? I think some like army friends I have, but I don't know what it's like in the Marine Corps. Do you have to buy your stuff by yourself and you get an amount of money for it, you know, which is planned for this, or do you get it issued kind of for free? What is it in the Marine Corps like?
Do you mean like the uniforms or the equipment? The
uniform.
Okay, so
that depends.
The uniform you get issued like a couple of sets of each at boot camp. After that, every year you're in the Marine Corps, you get a uniform allowance based off of your rank and pay grade. They give you some extra money annually or every 2 years, depending on how long you've been in, to kind of replace your uniforms with it. Most guys don't use it for that, but that is what it's for. So,
okay, I understand. So the thing is, how it works in the German army is that you get your whole equipment like issued, and if it's worn out, then you just bring it back and you get a new one. You get a new set. So
I wish that we did that same thing, but we do not, unfortunately. Yeah.
So that means if you want to look like, as an officer, I would say like professional, but you know, not washed out, have like new sets, then you have to buy it, and there's no way around it, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, and then you buy it in the Marine Corps equivalent to the PX, I guess.
Yeah, what we call it. You can go there, buy all of the items that you need for your uniforms. You can buy whole uniforms there, boots and all that. We are expected to buy them, and I think that the Marine Corps will like the workaround to that is every year we give you an amount of money that is supposed to be for your uniforms.
I understand. Is it the same with like cold weather gear and stuff like that? Like the thick suit, or do you only get it issued if you are in these conditions?
So your base issue is going to contain some cold weather gear, some like light, like warming layers and things like that, but if you are going to an environment where you need more than that, they will issue it to you. And then when you're done, they'll de-issue it from you.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't have like the whole soldier suite at one time. Usually we have like a base load of some stuff, but if we're going to an environment, then we get more.
Okay, and what it's like with the plate carrier? This is something you receive in your unit, or?
Yeah, so we go to CIF, which I think stands for Common Issue Facility, and that's where you'll get, or excuse me, IIF, Individual Issue Facility, and where you'll get that like base load of stuff that I'm talking about, and then we have a CIF as well, which is your Company Issue Facility, and they might issue you some more stuff, like maybe if you're a grenadier, they'll issue you like a grenadier belt or like certain like pouches for optics and things like that. But other than that, most of that stuff is going to go through what's called your company gunnery sergeant, and he's going to to the people that he needs to talk to and get the stuff that they need for the company, and then he'll issue it out to you.
Okay. Okay. How happy are you with the sleeping system, with the Marine Corps sleeping system?
There's a few levels to it. You have like your poncho liner, which is good for like summer. Mm-hmm. You have your brown sleeping bag, which is good for a little bit colder. Yeah. You have a black sleeping bag, which is good for extreme cold. Mm-hmm. And then you have a bivy sack as well. All right. The bivy sack, I wish it was a little bit more waterproof. Usually it ends up like a swimming pool inside there. But if you like a tarp shelter or something like that, then you'll be all right without it. It's all right. I've never felt the need to like go out and buy my own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this is very cool. Yeah. Okay. So thank you for this insight. This is always, you know, interesting to see, you know, how the difference work.
All right.
Now, we're talking about the YouTube channel. So you build up your knowledge so far, and then you decided to go or to start a YouTube channel. So, and you're very successful with it. So how did you came to this decision, and why did you do it?
So I started it about a year ago. And the reason why I wanted to start it is kind of like what you said in the beginning. A lot of the stuff that like isn't in the manuals that maybe or maybe not guys didn't get taught by their leadership and things like that. And I kind of wanted to put that information out there to help out like the junior Marine, the junior soldier, the junior whatever country you're from, because it's I kind of like put it on my Instagram when I first made the page, is like I'm trying to teach the lessons that I've learned the hard way to you, so you don't have to learn those lessons the hard way. Which is why I started it, really. It's very much tailored to the military, not really tailored to civilians and citizens and things like that, even though a lot of my boring is civilians and like the citizens of the United States and other countries, things like that. And I appreciate them like watching and following, but it is very much tailored to the military. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to teach guys the stuff I've learned the easy way. So hopefully they spend a bunch of money and tear their mind.
Yeah, this is very cool, and once again thank you for doing it. So I don't know if you know it, if you Google on like YouTube or just look at YouTube, then you sometimes find Alice Peck or something like that, and you find like old videos from the I think like 80s or 90s from an airborne guy telling the people how to use an Alice Peck and stuff like
that. I know exactly what video and I've seen it
exactly, and this is and it's so cool watching it, and the thing is, and this is like gold dust, because that's what you need to know, and that's exactly what you're doing right now. And so it's really, really good. The thing is, social media and military, it's sometimes pretty hard. But did you go to your chain of command and said, like, I want to do this, or did you just do it? And was there ever an issue where you said, like, or where you had problems with your chain of command?
No, I mean, you know the common saying, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. I didn't ask anyone if I could do it. I just started doing it. And everyone that I've talked to, they're overwhelmingly supportive of it. I don't know if any of my like senior leaders know that I'm doing this, but
yeah,
to be honest, I don't think that they'd have a problem with it. Just based off of the guys that they are, I think they would probably mm-hmm. think it's cool. But yeah.
Okay. But the thing is, you know, watching your commentaries, just reading through it and how successful you are, don't you think it would make sense that perhaps the Marine Corps would kind of work with you and you make it official so they could also use it? Have you ever thought about this?
I have not. I've been sent some products from a couple people. I don't think I've showed any of them on the channel yet, but the way that kind of works is the Marine Corps for every unit will have what's called a gunner, and he is in charge of, like, he's basically the senior infantryman in any unit, from the battalion level. And I've showed some of that stuff to my battalion gunner, and he thought it was really cool, took some pictures of it and things cool. like that. And so hopefully that's what I want to do in the long run, because what the gunner does is he's responsible for like safe training, and he's one of his duties is also like evaluation and like testing of our current equipment, all the way down from like mm-hmm. our boots up to anti-armor, like a weapon systems and things like that. And I want to have a hand in that one day, be able mm-hmm. to hopefully get the dudes under my charge some nicer equipment, all the way, you know, from like belts and plate carriers up to actual like weapons and things like that.
Yeah, I understand. Well, very cool. So, okay. So your plan is to stay in the core. Am I right?
Yeah, probably as of now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm leading.
Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, that's the thing. So the question, like, what are your plans in the future? You already told about this, that you perhaps want to go in like this direction to, you know, be in this position to do this. Is there a plan if you had to leave the Corps, what would you do as a civilian?
Yeah, so I've thought about it a couple times, and one of the things that I think I would really like to do would be to get into firefighting. Specifically like a wildland firefight. I don't really like heights, so I'm not really trying to climb on a 300-foot ladder. But you know, wildland firefighting is something that I think that I would blend well with those guys, and I would appreciate doing that job. But yeah, that if I had to choose something, like say I had to get out of the Marine Corps for some sort of like medical injury or something like that, then that would be what I'm doing.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah. So I think, it was just great talking to you. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed very much, especially the insights you could give me, give the community out there. And it's, as I already said, like, thank you for what you're doing. And hopefully we will meet again, perhaps on the next podcast or whenever you're good. And yeah, have you anything you want to say to your audience here in Germany or to our listeners?
To the audience, I would like to say, you know, thanks for the support. When I started this, I never imagined that I would gain the traction that I am gaining. And it's crazy the amount of people that, you know, are hitting me up every single day with questions and like sending me pictures of their stuff. Like, what do you think about this? What should I change about it? And, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, like I'm just a guy on the internet. Right. And there's 1,000 guys on the internet who are really doing what I'm doing, I would say, or at least something similar to. I just want to say thank you to all of the people who are watching this and are in support of what I'm doing.
All right. So then thank you for listening to this episode today. And as I always say in the end of my podcast, it's like, go out, do things. Don't only have the shiny new gear, but use it in the field. Use it whenever you go out and just get to know your equipment and yourself and enjoy being outside. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Goodbye.